Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen talk radio show. My guests for this morning are award-winning children's book author Judy Snyder and her sister Joan Dickow. They have recently co-authored a new children's book titled I Love You, Be Careful. Judy, Joan, and I will be discussing about their life's journey and their new book. Good morning, ladies. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Johnny. Fine, thank you.
Good morning, Johnny. Thank you for having us on.
I'm going to enjoy this whole hour. I love the book. It's written very well. It's a very interesting children's book. It reflects wonderfully our journey from being a baby to eventually becoming a parent ourselves. That's very interesting, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let us start by getting to know you two a little better. Please give us a walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment. And let's start with you first, Judy.
Okay. I'm 59 years old, and I was born in Michigan and raised in Michigan, one of three sisters, and Joan being one, and then a sister, Mary. And I lived in Michigan most of my life until about 22, and then I went down to New Orleans to grad school. Not far. I know, Johnny, you were in Baton Rouge.
That's right.
And went down to New Orleans, which was a life-changing experience living there because the culture and the food, it was wonderful, and school, of course. Mm-hmm. And then I came back to Michigan to work and where my family was in Michigan. And I met my husband, Gil, and we decided we didn't want to stay in cold Michigan. And we moved down to the Hampton Roads or Norfolk area, mm-hmm. and had two terrific sons, John and Nick. And my life became changed. And it's kind of like you said in your book, once became a mom, my life changed. And for a good way, for a good way. You know, I suddenly became responsible, really responsible. And my life, even though I work part-time in social work, I'm a licensed clinical social worker in Virginia, my life really wrapped around lots of PTA meeting children, you know, kids' friends coming over. And so that whole phase of life was really, from then on, was being a mom. Mm-hmm. And I've done volunteer work in the area. When my one son was a little baby, I would write, and writing started then, I'll talk about later. Mm-hmm. And now we still live in Virginia, and I try to travel all I can. I love different cultures and traveling. And my sons, I'm going through a little son longing. My sons are in D.C. and Ann Arbor. Mm-hmm. And so I have my two cats now to call my babies. And that's it about now. I just have life is good, you know, and I have my family and up in Michigan, my family, my sons, my husband, and my cats. So life and good set of friends.
Wonderful. And I like the idea about the way you arrange the time that you were down in New Orleans. You see, the good times first and then school last. So I like that.
Joan visited me in New Orleans, so she knows about that.
That's wonderful. And how about you, Joan?
Well, you know, I was born and raised in Michigan. I got married out of high school, and I always wanted kids. I thought I was going to have 20 kids. This was my dream. I ended up with two great kids. Not such a good marriage, so I became a single mom and did the best at raising my kids. And when my son was seven, he was diagnosed with a soft tissue cancer tumor, and my whole life changed. It was a shock. It was unexpected. I started researching, and I had the help of some great doctors in Michigan here, and found that actually Stanford in Palo Alto, California, had the most successful rate of survival, and at the time they gave him a 2-3% chance survival rate. And so I traveled to California back and forth, and the next 2 years, it was 2 years he was in, from hospital to chemo to radiation implants to, oh gosh, everything and anything, something a seven-year-old shouldn't have to go through.
Wow.
I was away from my daughter a lot. She was four, and I felt very guilty about that. She reminds me how I missed her first day of kindergarten, which I hated to be away, but my son needed me. As I found, you know, I also, though, found time for my daughter, you know, by doing little special things. When I go and have to leave, I'd leave her notes, or maybe I'd leave her candy under her pillow, or just try to make her feel special, because it's really hard on her, too,
sure.
because her whole life, all of a sudden, mom isn't there with her.
Mm-hmm.
And during this period, I met a great man, and we spent a lot of our dates actually in hospital waiting rooms mm-hmm. and doctor's office, and I married him, and we've been married for 32 years. And I guess what I'm really proud about to say to everybody today is today, October 18th, is my son's birthday. He's 42 years old. He's cancer-free, and he is a blessing and a gift to me every day. And I have 5 children between my husband and I now, and we have 9 grandchildren from the age 2 to 19 years old. And life is good. We've had our up and downs, and hasn't been easy, but, you know, we're a family. We stuck together, and we looked at the positive things, and that's where I'm at. And my son is, like I said, he's 42 years old today, and he's doing great, cancer-free.
That's wonderful news. Let me answer this. When you were growing up with your sister, Judy, and you said that there was another sister, correct, as well?
Yes, uh-huh. Mary. Uh-huh.
Right. Were there a bunch of sibling rivalries and that kind of thing?
Oh, yes, this is Joan, and I was the middle child, yes. Yes, I could do everything wrong, and my older sister was perfect, and my younger sister was the baby, you know.
Oh,
so, yes.
You go.
Yes. Yes,
and I didn't
right.
really experience
yes.
that because I was the baby.
I see. There you go. There you go. Well, Judy, what got you into writing?
Actually, I was thinking about that, and I thought, I have been writing since the third grade. I remember mm-hmm. writing a story called The Mystery of the Green Hand
mm-hmm.
and writing this in third grade and writing poetry. And I think I was born to write. I mean, I just think I've always been writing, you know, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember it starting in third grade. And it felt wonderful. I just have always liked it. And then when I had my son, John, mm-hmm. I took a course, Institute of Children's Writing course, and when he'd nap, I would be working on my writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it just sprung from there.
Very interesting. One of the things that I noticed that in your bio, you two spent a lot of time in your grandmother's kitchen every Sunday growing up. So what was that like for you?
Joan, you want to go first?
Sure. The kitchen was a great place. I think now being a grandma, I could go there and talk about anything with them and get
mm-hmm.
their full attention. I don't know what it is about grandparents, but they seem to hang, you know, on every word that you say. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I could talk to them and laugh and enjoy and didn't feel all the pressures of everyday living. And I always enjoyed watching my grandmother cook. She was fabulous. She could make these huge meals and, you know, make it look effortless. And have the family come in, and I remember this big, it was in a farmhouse, and it was an
mm-hmm.
old farmhouse, and this big, you know, oak table that must have, to me, you know, could have sat 100 people, but probably only sat 20, 25. And we would laugh and smile and just share moments together. And those moments, I felt we were a family. We were all a family, and that was nice.
We would also, Johnny,
mm-hmm.
my grandfather was, interesting kind of raising my grandfather. One grandfather was from England and the other was from Greece.
Mm-hmm.
And my English grandfather, when we go over there, we'd have traditional English food my grandma would make. She'd make like beefsteak and kidney pie and you know, just traditional English foods and lots of it. And so I just remember that we'd go and we could run around the farm outside and so we could get the running in, but then we'd come in the kitchen and she always would make, you know, big yeast rolls, and
mm-hmm.
you'd always have this smell coming, you know, this wonderful smell of cooking. And I remember the women being in the kitchen at the end cleaning up, and I remember thinking, why do the women have to do this? And then now that I'm older, I think, oh, my goodness, the women were in the kitchen having fun talking to each other.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
an interesting perspective. But so it was a Sunday thing you did, and I miss that actually being down living
yeah.
down here. We don't get that big Sunday dinner with extended family. So,
very interesting. I know that having fun in the kitchen, sometimes people don't relate to that, but what I got from my various moms is that that's the wonderful visiting place because the kitchen is the heart of every home. So it's just a wonderful place to kind of just sit down and you can be relaxed and you can basically talk about just about anything.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. Judy, coming back to you, why did you choose the children's genre to write your books?
Well, it's funny because what I read actually is I love thrillers. I love mysteries and thrillers. And in fact, my older sister Mary and I did a storyline that a woman called Marcia Cook, who's an author, did a script for called The Doctor's Wife. And so we're working on that. And so I really read thrillers and mysteries. And but once I had children, again, I keep coming back, like your book about moms. Once I became a mom, there's just lots of things changed. And I suddenly saw a book and what the kids did and their antics that they did as little kids, and reading children's books to them all the time, even before they were born. Actually, we'd read out loud, and especially when they were babies and children. I just found it was fascinating with children's stories. So now I collect some children's books also, but that got me started.
Your first book, Goldie's Baby Socks, won an award. So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, that's my son's kids book, and that one I laugh because we really did have a cat called Goldie, and she would bring all these socks in and she'd dump them. They were all over the house, and she'd mew, and it was the funniest thing. And so from there, at that time I was working for 8 years. I stopped social work, and I don't do that right now, at least paid. And I worked in a children's library. And so I'd have to help pick and read. I read to children classes all day long, ages 3 to, like, 10. And I suddenly loved reading to children, and I could see what made them laugh, the stories. And so I took the story about Goldie, and I made it into this funny book. And my goal being to read to children. That was my goal in publishing, to be able to read to children. And found a wonderful illustrator, Thomas McAteer in Philadelphia, and suddenly came up with this book, and it makes kids giggle. There's stuff about it in the Goldie's Baby Socks, like, you know, it's a cute story, but there's one line that the cat brings a pair of underwear, and so the kids roll in the floor when I read that to them, and I have to put on cat ears to read it to them, and they make cat sounds. And so we were very proud that I'm a member of the Cat Writers Association, and that won a Muse Award for them. And we were proud that it was also published in Spanish also, because I'm a real believer that I really like multicultural things, I think because of being raised in a family that was mixed multicultural. And I would love to see it in various languages that people could enjoy. So that's that book. So it's a fun, silly book. That's a picture book for kids.
Wonderful. Was it difficult in terms of coming up with ideas from a standpoint of transition between writing, like you say, you like mysteries, and then now you're writing about children's book, which is totally different because you have to be kind of, in some ways, plain and simple and direct to the point?
Yes, actually it is. And I skipped over one thing. I should have said that my first book I ever did, there's one I worked with a man called David Morgan on called Peanut Butter, Sassafras, Monster, and Jelly about sibling rivalry. And that got me really started writing more manuscripts. But you have to be very, with kids' books, it's very difficult, actually, because you have to know the age you're writing for. You have to, not a formula in a bad way, but a good way, you have to know what's going to get the kids interested, keep them interested. And so I find it very hard. You have to be more succinct in a children's book, actually.
Interesting.
You know,
information.
I mean, it is, because you think, oh, children's book, anyone can write it. But it's not that easy. But do I have ideas? I have too many ideas. I just shoot through my head all the day. They do. It's a joke. It's like too many ideas. I know you're kind of keeping your mouth shut on that one, Joan. But,
too imaginative.
They go through my head all the time.
Well, Joan, how about you? When did you discover you like writing?
Oh, yeah. To be honest, John, writing was never really a passion of mine. It's just something that Judy and my sister Mary, you know, were into. And one day, you know, Judy was, I don't know, we talk a lot on the phone. I mean, for sisters, we enjoy each other's company and ideas, and we talk a lot on the phone about our life and stuff. And we were just, my husband, Fred, was going out the door, and I said to him, I love you, be careful. And it started a conversation with Judy and I about how many times we say it, you know, our kids, our friends, our parents, you know, just be careful, we love you. And so we started just coming up with ideas and said, you know, this would be kind of nice to share with other people and let them see our be careful moments and relate to them and maybe think about their, you know, be careful moments.
Mm-hmm.
And it started and I got more interested, and then I realized how hard it was to put something together like this. And I don't think I could have done it, you know, being the first time ever doing that, if it wasn't for Judy, because of her knowledge. And she's a real go-getter. She will, you know,
mm-hmm.
She's good about marketing and contacting people and getting things going and stuff. So I just experienced this, and I thought, wow, this is kind of nice that you can put your ideas and pictures down and, you know, and express things to yourself and to your, to other people. So that's kind of how I got interested in it and you know, and went along with it, and I've loved it. It's been fun, you know.
That's a very
interesting
story.
I'd like to do more someday.
Yeah, that's a very interesting story. October is Breast Cancer Month,
yes.
And you are a 20-year breast cancer survivor. Please share that
yes.
story with us.
Yes. Yes, I am, and very proud of it. After my son, of course, had his mm-hmm. cancer, I always said, please don't let, you know, don't let it happen to me, or happen to him, you know,
yeah.
let it happen to me. Well, 20 years ago, I was 41, and I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I had a double mastectomy and chemotherapy, and went through that and lost my hair and survived it, and again, every day is a blessing for me because of that. And I recommend to women, I found it by a self-exam. Mammogram didn't show it, so please, please be aware of it. Do self-exams. Get your mammograms. Don't think it can't happen to you at a young age. I was 41. We had no family history of it. Please protect yourself because your kids need you, you know, and your family and your spouses and your friends, you know, so take care of yourself. It's important for you to, you know, consider yourself number one in this area and take care of your health. It's very important. And having survived it, today I, you know, I'm just enjoying being a grandma and loving my grandkids, never knowing how much I could love them. And I'm very fortunate that I'm around to enjoy them. So I thank every day that I'm here.
That's a wonderful story. Your granddaughter is also currently having surgery as we speak. Would you like to say hello to her?
I'd love to say. I'm waiting to hear of the surgery. I know it's she's having her tonsils out and adenoids. She's 2 years old. She's a sweetheart. I'm just waiting to hear how she is in case I have to get off the phone because I'm very anxious about this. But I'd like to say hello to Charlotte Grace. She's 2 years old. She's in Lansing right now having her surgery, and Grandma will see you as soon as she can. And a big hello goes out to her sister, Caroline, who's 4 years old, and she's just the best little helper for her sister, and I love them both very much.
Wonderful. So, Judy, what I understand is that your sister came up with the idea, I love you, be careful.
Yeah.
How did you get involved with the project itself?
That's a very good question. We were on the phone when this happened,
mm-hmm.
and we started going over all the be careful moments,
mm-hmm.
and I think it evolved, didn't it, Joan, from that conversation?
Yes. Like I said, with Fred going out, we just happened to say it, and we started saying, gosh, almost every day we say it to someone, it seems like.
And I think we then said, wouldn't it be great if we did a book? and we said, okay, let's think about doing a book. And so I think after that, we would talk each day, and we'd say, okay, let's come up. What are the be careful moments? Because it starts with a couple on the steps of a hospital. The woman's going to have a baby, and her husband's helping her up, and he's saying, be careful. And then it goes to various scenes like a child walking towards the mom or the mom and dad taking the training wheels off as they go off in the bicycle and, you know, the various scenes, mm-hmm. giving the car keys for the first time. And it's a whole cycle, and it ends with Johnny, the grandparents that you see at the beginning, you know, the people you see at the beginning, watching their daughter and son-in-law with a baby down the same hospital steps, and they're both saying, be careful, I love you. So this whole circle of be careful, I love you moments. And so it took a long time for us to say, what are those moments that a parent And we have, you know, someone going off in into the military. Where I live is a big military community, and so we wanted to put that in there as a, you know, be careful, I love you moment. And we did that every day, didn't we, Joan?
Yes. Yes.
You know?
You two came up with the reason why you all have to write this I love you, be careful deal. So
yeah.
What is so important about getting it out to everybody else, though?
Well, I think it's because, again, I think, Joan, with you're saying with your breast cancer, it was truly a gift to work with Joan. I mean, because, mm-hmm. one, she's alive, and she's my sister, and we actually could do this together. But it's to remind people that when your loved one goes out the door, you know, take the time, walk over, give them a hug, or if you're talking to them on the phone, you know, just to be aware, I love you, be careful. We really set it up as a gift book so that people can, you're saying to them, I love you, be careful. But what do you think, Joni?
No, exactly the same thing. Just to take the time and to remember, as that person, you want them, you love them, and you want them to be careful, and you want them to come back safe. You know, we thought that, and we kind of started thinking, you know, there's other people out there that experience the same thing every day too, you know, and so we wanted to share that with them so they could relate to it, think about it, you know, and that's really why we wanted to do it and put it out there.
In going through your book, what I gather, the most important thing, like what you said, and the reason why I asked the question is because I see a lot of making a reminder for ourselves that we need to live in the present moment.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Instead of do this tomorrow, or I can say I love you tomorrow, or I can, yes.
Because we tend to always put those things off. We take things for granted that, yeah, you know, no big deal. I'll catch up with that person later or whatever. And what your book does is that, you know, these are the magical moments that you have to take snapshots of living in the present moment and expressing yourself accordingly, how you feel at that moment.
That's exactly it, John.
Exactly. It's a snapshot. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, Joan, this is your first book, as we had mentioned. How does it make you feel?
I'm very proud. I mean, I'm proud of myself, I have to say. I'm proud that I went out of my comfort zone and did something a little different that I had never tried or done before. I guess I loved working with my sister Judy. I know you're going to hear this and people are going to say, oh, my goodness, but my sister's – no, seriously. My sister, she's been a rock in my life, and I've shared – you know, to share this with her, and we're always going to have this together, something we did together. And I love her so much, and I learned so much from it too, you know. And, you know, you got to follow your dreams and get out of that comfort zone sometime. And it's – like I said, it's hard work. I don't know if it brought Judy and I closer. We're close now. I mean, so I'll say it brought us closer, but I think sometimes we're as close as two people can be or sisters can be.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a lot of fun with it. I think we've brought in laughter with it. You know, a cute story, we love to Google our name, you know, and it's like, oh, wow, we're out there. You know, this is it, our name, you know, and it's out there, you know. So there's funny things in the grandkids. Oh, my goodness, you know, they're happy about it, and the kids are happy about it, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the only thing is my four-year-old granddaughter, when I showed her the book, you know,
yeah.
she was more excited that Aunt Judy's picture was on the book. You know, like, it didn't
of
matter
course,
that
no.
Grandma Jones' picture was on the book. It was, oh, look, there's Aunt Judy.
There you go. Well, so, I have something I have to tell you, though. You're never an expert in your own backyard. How's that?
No, that's true. Boy, have we learned that, Johnny, through the years. But that's really, you know, I'm very proud of it. And, you know, we had great people working with us on this book, and the kids would go and watch. There's a trailer that Virginia Grenier did for us.
Mm-hmm.
And on the book, and the kids would love to go. It's set to music, and it kind of goes through the pages of the book and everything. And I'm happy with it. I'm proud of it. You know, my children, my grandchildren. You know, I'm proud of it.
What do you enjoy most about writing this book with your sister?
Oh gosh, I guess just it. Every time we came to a page or we had a discussion about our life, you know, if there was when our kids took their first steps, or what it was like when we, you know, took the training wheels off the bike, you know, a sign of growing up and a sign of independence in its own way. So I guess what I liked about it, we could talk, and it was great therapy for both of us. We could, you know, talk about our life, talk about our feelings, you know, and I think that's what I got a lot out of the book from.
Very interesting. So, Judy, how did you choose Caddy Driver to be your illustrator this time?
Oh, that was really, you know, just as Thomas was a great match for Goldie, she was a great match for this. Joan and I, boy, we spent a lot of time, didn't we, Joan? We went through, I'm a member of the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, which is a great organization for children's book writers. If anyone ever wants to write them, that's a good one to join, I feel. And we went on there. They have illustrators with samples of their work. And we got to Caddy Driver, and we were just really impressed with the warmth of her and her art. She was so, I guess we were looking for someone warm, you know, pictures. And so we contacted her, and she lives in Raleigh, North Carolina.
And not only was her picture warm, she was such a warm person, too. Someone
wonderful,
that, you know,
wonderful,
you could work with, right?
Yes, Jones, yes. She's just a really warm person, and she sent us some samples, didn't she, Joan?
Yes.
And then so we made an agreement to work with her, and she was just fast and professional, and she has three kids of her own, and so was able to, you know, take some of that experience and put it in her drawings. And so we were lucky. Actually, we were very lucky to get her. She's really good.
I Love You, Be Careful speaks about unconditional love. As a mother, what is unconditional love for you?
For me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. I keep thinking of that song. What's the song? I'll be there. I won't sing for y'all. But
oh, please. Please, Johnny. Please, Johnny. Don't let her sing.
I'll be there. I'll be there to love and comfort you or something when you feel that you can't go on. And I say that because we have two sons. And I just adore them. I mean, they're, you know, one's in Michigan and one's in D.C. And if they were to call and say, Mom, I need you, I would do everything in my power to get there. I think of them. You know, we send them little cards. I'm not a texter. I want to hear my son's voices. Mm-hmm. I can tell if they're happy, if they're sad, if they're, you know, when they tell me about something. I love to get that voice. And unconditional is not that I don't always agree with them on everything. I mean, you know, we know. But I will support them in life. And I'm always there. I always say we're your safe harbor in life. That when, you know, the storms and things get terrible, you know, come to that safe harbor, we'll be there. And it's like it's also like in Ashley's unconditional. It's kind of like in your book that you have. Actually, we have your book. We love it. From My Mama's Kitchen, Johnny.
Thank you.
Great book. And I keep kind of re-going over it. It's one you can, like, pick up and read again. And, you know, and so food plays into that a little bit in the sense that, you know, unconditionally, it's like, you know, we'll keep feeding them and feeding them and feeding them. I mean, they're very independent, you know, nice young men of character. But I will be there no matter what, unconditional love. Once I became a mom, I'm a lioness. I mean, you know, you know, it's like I really am. I didn't realize that side of me of protection.
Yeah.
And I also worry, though. Like, I think there's a mother worrying time, probably your listeners out there, between 3 and 4 a.m., that mothers wake up and worry, you know. And I don't know if it's for – I mean, my husband's a really good father, and he cares, too. But I think there's a mother worry time.
Mm-hmm.
And so so unconditionally, I'll be there for them. I need to not worry so much, maybe, but, you know, what can I say?
She also, Johnny, you have to ask her about what she sends to them. She is, it's a yearly ritual, yes.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
For the last 4 years, I send them, I get all these articles together from magazines I read about health and happiness and whatever, and it's called Judy's Tips to Help Healthy and Happy Life. And so it's just filled with all these articles, and I cut them out and I paste them on the page, and everything from having omega-3 to how to boost your mood. And so I send them every year. And what did you say, Joan, this morning, what they probably do with them?
I believe I said they probably put them in the garbage.
but I send them every year. We've done 4 years, and it makes me feel good. All my, you know, mama's tips to be healthy and happy. So, what can I say?
That's
Thanks,
great.
Joan, I forgot.
That's great. Speaking on behalf of your two sons, I tell you, the interesting part of it, thank God we're not living right next door to you.
They're probably going to hear this and say, yeah.
Touché! I love that. Fabulous.
That is absolutely right. Yes, yes. Hey, I wonder if that's why they're in Washington and Ann Arbor now.
I'm serious. It's really funny because when I was 18 and I had the opportunity to move halfway around the world.
Right.
And it's like, all right.
yes, I think
you're
absolutely
back then,
right.
Though, you know, and the older you get, things change. But as a teenager, that was the best thing that could happen. And then when my Italian foster mom, Carol Wisdom, who lives in Missouri, and I was in Louisiana, and she said, why don't you quit LSU and come to Southeastern Missouri University? Uh-uh.
It is uh-uh. Uh-uh says it all, doesn't it?
So, anyway, Joan, you are a grandmother now. So what is unconditional love for you?
Oh, just unconditional love is just, you know, it comes from my heart. It's, it's just being there and giving them support, love, encouragement. And I feel if you can give, you know, I can give that to them every day of their life or my life as long as I'm here. Mm-hmm. It's going to mean something. And I just want to be the mom and grandma who supports them, loves them. And I want them to be themselves. I want them to have the strength to live life each day. I want them to know that it's not perfect. It's definitely not perfect, and no one is perfect, you know. But as Judy said, I will be there for you. I will do whatever I have to do. I will be there in the good times, the bad times, and the hard times, you know. And I think that is the love that comes from my heart. It's from being a mom. It's just who I am, and I hope that I pass it on to my children and my grandchildren so when they, you know, come into situations in their life, they can handle it, you know, and just be supportive for them. And it's all about love.
What I like about your book is that you walk through, as I mentioned before, from being a baby and all the way to full circle to being a parent. That was a lot of thought that you guys put into it. And so there was a lot of loving touch in terms of truly explaining unconditional love from a pictorial standpoint of view without many things needed to be spoken because the picture speaks 1,000 words, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and actually, you know, when we did this book, people say, oh, is it a children's book? And it really mm-hmm. is a gift book for grown-ups in a sense
yeah.
that, you know, moms and dads and new brides but little kids, we were shocked because apparently, you know, a lot of parents are reading. Their little kids love it because, of course, it has repetition. I love you, be careful. I love you, mm-hmm. be careful. And so a lot of little kids like it. It's very interesting, which
I love you, be careful, hidden mm-hmm. in little things. Too,
oh, yeah, there's a hidden, it's
bit,
hidden
yes.
in every picture. There's a hidden I love you,
mm-hmm.
Be careful. And so that's been fun for the little ones. But that surprised us, though, actually, a little bit. Johnny, can I say one thing?
Yeah.
Can I quote your book for a minute when you were
yeah,
talking
sure.
about
yeah.
about moms? And
yeah.
I always like this because in your book you said she always looks beyond the surface and straight into the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Moms always believe that it is the attitudes of our hearts that ultimately defines us. And I have to tell you, that's one of my favorite quotes from your book. When you were
Thank
just
you.
Saying about it, you know, it's true. We look into our kids' hearts.
Very true. I mean, cut right straight down to it, and mm-hmm. she knows the soul, and that's the beauty of unconditional
yes.
love. Very
that's
true.
It.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, many quotes I really related to, actually.
Well, it's meant to be that way. So I was spiritually inspired to write the book, and so it's been very exciting, and it's an opportunity for me to honor moms all over the world with the things that moms do and sometimes not recognized for in some ways. So
Correct.
I'm very fortunate to have had the opportunity to do that. Well, Joan, how does your kids and your grandkids take to the fact that you're an author right now?
Well, again, it's fun for them. They go online, mm-hmm. and of course, Google our name. Being they're younger, a lot of times it's the younger ones that are more excited. The older ones are like, life goes on, or whatever. There she is again. She loves us, or she's telling us to be careful or whatever it is. But they do like to do that, like I said, and they like to for me to read it when they come over. And then, of course, at the end, with the pictures and go through all the different things.
Right.
And I tell them, too, in your life now you have to be careful, because I love you, And mm-hmm. just it's all about reassuring. It's all just knowing that, that they're loved. That's really all I want my children, I want my grandchildren to know that they're loved. And it's, and I think it's so important. We think that other people, sometimes we say, we'll send them to school and the teachers will teach them this, or we'll send them, we'll put them in front of the TV and they'll learn this. And, they need to hear that, And we were a family,
right.
I think Judy said, too, we would sit at the table, have our dinner, talk. It wasn't, like one would be in one room, one would be in another room. I mean, we would sit. My kids knew, that dinner time was we were going to sit at the table and we're going to have, talk about the day, talk about life, talk about things. And I'm proud to say that my daughter, is doing that even with her 2- and 4-year-old. They all sit at the table. They talk about what they did in the day, how they're mm-hmm. feeling, And so that's how, I think really my kids and grandkids are proud of the fact that I did this. And again, for me, it was coming out of, my comfort zone. I'm not a real outspoken person. I definitely do not speak like Judy.
Wait.
I definitely do not talk as much as Judy.
Talk and eat. Those are my two favorite things in life.
Where did you get your parenting skills from?
Gosh, for myself, I believe from my parents. My parents were... let's see. I always knew they were there for me. I knew that it was unconditional love in the sense that, I know I disappointed them and there were things in my life I did, but I knew that if I needed them, they would be there for me. I could go and call up and say, this is happening in my life or whatever it is. And I've got to go back to when my son was sick and I was traveling for 2 years to California.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I could have done it without my mom in the sense she was, supportive. There was times she came out with me. She held my hand, So I think some of that comes from that. And the other part comes, I think sometimes you have that. Some people, I don't want to say they're born with it, but they just, just have that feeling. There's just something about it, that they want to take care, they want to nurture, they want the best, for people and their children. And I just know, it goes back to I love my kids. I would do anything for my children,
mm-hmm.
And not that I don't want them to live life. I mean, go out there.
Right.
Half the time I can tell them something. They don't listen to me anyway, but I, I have the opportunity to tell them, it's like sometimes I think, why are you wasting our time? You're not going to listen to me anyways, But there are those moments where, down the road as they've gotten older, I think, wow, I must have done something right. I must have done something because, they're good kids and they're, I'm proud of how they've come out. And I'm proud of the fact that they're caring, loving, compassionate, and they're doing well. And now, like I said, my daughter's passing that on to her kids, too.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy, watching that.
One of the things I gather as a son myself is that I realize that a lot of times in the past, I kept a lot to myself simply because of two things. Number one, I don't want to hear what my mom has to say. And number two, of course, not telling her all the things that would disappoint her. And then in a complete reverse over a period of time, then I realized that I need to give her the opportunity to be a mother.
That's very important. Yes.
Yes. In a weird way where I realized that it's okay for her to worry about me. It's okay for her to pray for me, or it's okay for her to be concerned. Judy, you mentioned about the fact that at 2, 3 a.m. in the morning, you worry about your sons. And I realize now is that it's okay to give mom the opportunity to be mom.
Yes.
Yes.
I think that's nice. That's very nice.
So, Judy, how about you? I mean, your husband writes as well. What does he write about?
Oh, he does. Actually, he wrote, and it's fun because he's a funny guy, too.
Mm-hmm.
I say
mm-hmm.
part of the thing in all our family is humor,
mm-hmm.
and he's got a funny sense of humor. But the book he wrote is a medical thriller. He wrote one called Brain Warp,
mm-hmm.
and it's a medical political thriller. And he wrote that, gosh, about 5 years ago. And he's writing one now, but he has about 100 pages, but he hasn't finished his second one. But he's really loved it. He loves the research. He can write these. He does a lot of research, and he can write these long 200-some-page books. I can't do that, and I really can't, you know. But he does the research. I think he researches 4 months, and he went to New York to check out the buildings, how it
mm-hmm.
looked, and he went, you know, Ukraine. It's about Ukraine, too, Ukraine website. And so he's a writer, too, which is really fun because we just went to a writer's conference in town,
mm-hmm.
and you can always learn about writing. I'm still learning. It's not like you suddenly know everything about writing. And so we learn quite a bit. And so, yeah, he's a writer, too, which is fun.
I find that you two are full of humor. How important is humor in the writing of children's book in many ways?
I think it's very important.
Mm-hmm.
I like books that are humorous and speak to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to pick those in children's books.
Mm-hmm.
And when reading to children, I love to see them laugh, and I love to see them giggle. It's important to me that they get a good character message, in the sense that, you know, I've always been a person who does not like bullying. You know what I mean? People
mm-hmm.
should be kind to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like books that show, you know, kids or people being kind to each other or kind to animals. And so how about you, Joni?
I like books that show concern for other people, you
mm-hmm.
know, and yes.
And humor, though. We do laugh a lot,
humor,
don't we?
Humor, we laugh. You know, honestly, Johnny, if we sat and told you probably every detail, which you would want to hear, we have to laugh.
Yeah.
We have to laugh. Laughter is the best. Let me tell the people out there, laughter is the best medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just gets you through some of the toughest, hardest times. And you have to have humor. You have to look at life and enjoy it and laugh at yourself. You know, don't be so serious. You know, maybe that comes with age a lot, I've found. You know, I was
mm-hmm.
so concerned when I was younger what I was going to be like, what I was going to wear, what I was going to do, what I was going to say. And now it's great. You get older and it's like, I don't care. I'm putting my sweats on. I'm going to say what I want to say. You know,
yeah.
And they can just call me an old lady or tell me I'm forgetful or tell me whatever it is. It doesn't matter, you know. So humor is great. Judy and I laugh. Sometimes we laugh so hard we can't even talk on the phone.
We cry sometimes. We're laughing too hard.
Yes.
Well, things happen in life where back then it may not be funny, but looking back, it's a whole lot of fun because it helps, like you mentioned, because having humor certainly helps us to be healthy.
Mm-hmm. Have the humor, enjoy life, because you have an expiration date. It's there. There's no getting around it. So
I've never heard you say that.
That's now.
Very true. Judy, what would you like your readers to gain from buying the book?
It's funny. It sounds like I'm pushing the book, but it's really one I know. If we hadn't written it, I would have wanted someone to give to me, just because it would let me know, frankly, how much I'm loved. You
mm-hmm.
know, I love you. Be careful. I would want them to give it to their loved ones, because there's a in the beginning you can personalize it, you know, for the person
sure.
to from, but I, just to show that sense of and it's not just moms, it's, you know, it's really, you know, for dads too. It's just that family connection and have them. A lot of people actually, when they read it, if they read it from the beginning to the end, I mean every page,
mm-hmm.
We'll get teary. It's very interesting. You know, I've run into a lot of, like, women in their 40s to 60s, and they
mm-hmm.
just get teary. Even my husband got teary, actually, when he read it, because he thought of our children and the different stages they go through.
Right.
Or, it's funny, I know some kids who are in their 20s, and they give it to their moms or their dads, and they like it because it shows their moms and dads that they love them, too. So.
Right, right. Very interesting. Where can someone go to buy your book and get more information about you and your sister?
Actually, there's a
couple
Google. Places. That's going to be the key phrase. They can go to Google, but they can actually, we have a website, Johnny. It's called iloveyoubecareful.com. The title of the book, iloveyoubecareful.com. And that tells about us. It links to Katie if they're interested in, you know, seeing some of her artwork. Mm-hmm. It links to Virginia Grenier, who did the real nice book trailer on mm-hmm. us. And so they can go there. They can get it through Amazon. And they can get it, if they want a hard copy, they can only get that through the publisher Ex Libris.
Okay.
And that's nice for librarians, because when I used to work in library, it
sure.
has the title on the spine. It has a nice spine with the title that it can be in bookshelves. And the new thing that we're pretty excited about is it's an e-book now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're excited because people can send it like you would send a e-card.
Mm-hmm.
That you can send this and send I guess it would be an e-card book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you can send it as a card to someone, you know, for the holidays or Mom's Day or Father's Day. And so that's where they can get it right now.
Very interesting. Joan, how has writing this book impacted you personally, being that it is your first book?
I guess it's helped me to express myself and try to. I hope the book reaches out to other people. I hope it just makes people think about life and grab onto it and be thankful for every day. And I know everybody has heard this so many times, but life really is a gift. It's a gift to all of us. And enjoy it. Grab your loved ones and live it. And that's what I hope the book. Yes.
Yeah, and you're also working on a new book as well, correct? So what can we expect from you in the coming months?
Well, it's lots been going on, and I'm a little behind schedule, but it's a children's book, and it has to do with things that happen in our life, and it happens to be called The Porch Fairy is what it's going
mm-hmm.
to be called. And I wrote it having my granddaughter in mind, because when I can't be around her, I like to remember her, so The Porch Fairy remembers to come. And It's just going to be kind of a comical, loving book about, you know, about the porch fairy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Very interesting.
And I need Judy's help with it.
Oh, we got a new project. That was the saddest part. That was the saddest part of ending.
Yes.
Was when we ended the book. It was very sad, actually, in some ways, when it came out, because it ended the process of working on it, you know.
Yeah.
There is no way that I cannot talk to my sister.
And we talk to Mary. We have to throw Mary in the mix there with humor. Yeah.
Mary in Ann Arbor. She's very good. I think she's probably the most sane one of all of us.
Good. I mean, she kind of refereed you too, you see. That's what.
That's the oldest. Yes. The oldest. Mm-hmm.
Yes, she's the oldest. Yes.
Oops, I better.
Let's not go there again, okay? The middle child syndrome or something.
Right.
No, I'm kidding. I love my sisters dearly.
Judy, how has writing the book impacted you, having the opportunity to work with your sister?
Again, the gift. And I say this to Joan whenever I can. I mean, every year I will send a card, or I just am so thankful, you know, her being a breast cancer survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And that she's alive. Same with my nephew, of course, today has been his birthday. But it was really a gift. It's that's all I can say. It was a gift. It was fun. It was, I mean, hard work. I mean, you know, but we were good at being organized together to get it done. And then with that combination of Katie, but for Joan, it was lovely. It was warm. It was family. So I'm very blessed to have done it with her, actually.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Sure.
What you need to do, Joan, once I send you all the information, you can, you know, this show is podcasted, so you need to tape that part down and keep
playing. Oh, I was thinking that, Johnny. It's perfect. I can play it over and over to her.
There you go.
She's going to do it now.
Yeah. See, remember
Judy
what you
knows
said
I
about
would do
me?
That, too.
That's what it's all about.
What it is, yes.
Any final thoughts about I Love You, Be Careful?
funny because as I'm talking to you, you have to realize I still have your book in front of me.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking that you know, I want to make your pound cake at the back, so I'm telling people if you want to see a good recipe for pound cake, because it got me hungry. It must be around lunchtime from my mama's kitchen, but they have this great recipes in the back that Johnny did, and his pound cake looks great. But, no, I hope people take the time to read the book from the beginning to the end, and I hope they, mm-hmm. I hope they send it to their loved ones and just...
And look at the pictures. Look
yeah,
at the
pictures
too, really.
Wonderful. By the way, we're coming close to the end of the show. Do you ladies have a recipe for living you would like to share with our listeners this morning? And Judy, you can start off first.
Okay. I'll be quick on this one. But I think humor and compassion and warmth are really important in life.
Mm-hmm.
With others, as well as yourself, being kind to yourself. I kept thinking, don't hurry in life. A lot of times I like run to another room. I can slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And... just the gift of time. Give the gift of time to your friends, your family. You know, sometimes I'll see people in the grocery store and they're with little ones and they're on the cell phone. I think, stop, put it away, and just be with your child. You know what I mean? Talk to your child. And so I guess just humor, compassion, warmth. You know, if you're a mom, you know, just, what can I say? Be a mom. And, you know, be curious, you know, and don't let regrets eat you. It's real important
mm-hmm.
not to, because we all have regrets in life or things that haunt us, and try to focus on the positive. And the biggest thing is just recipe for life. You know, I heard once, not everyone in life is going to like you, so surround yourself with those who love you
mm-hmm.
and like you. And I think that's so true. Surround yourself with people you care about and let them know you care, because you never know when they walk out the door. You hope they'll come back, but you never know. That sounds funny, but so those are my things.
Wonderful. And how about you, Joan?
Well, I think Judy and I are on the same page. Maybe that's why we get along and love each other so much. But I guess mine would be live each day, mix in some love, you know, support and kindness. Got to have a pinch of humor in there. Accept each other's faults and try to be the best that you can be. And I guess believe in yourself and others is important.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, I, you know, you hope you've made a healthy, happy, you know, lasting relationship with the ones you love. And that would be my recipe. That's it's simple, I know, but it's means so very much.
Oh, there's one other thing. Call your mother. Well, you have the chance. Call your mother.
Very true. And one of the things that sometimes people don't realize is that unconditional love and sharing yourself, you don't have to be perfect to do that. It is
right.
What the heart thinks that's more important than anything
yeah,
else.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Absolutely.
One last question. Any advice for aspiring children's book author?
Judy, I'm going to let you answer that.
I just say, you have to know there's going to be rejections.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to get rejections when you submit it to places. Not everybody's going to see your work the same way. I mean, everyone's an individual personality. So when you get them, you get them. And my kids used to get them in the mail, say, oh, Mom, you got another rejection. And that day I would send it out to someone else. And so you pick yourself up, dust yourself off. And so, you know, just know, don't cave after the first rejection. You know, it's going to happen. And the other is try to go to conferences, try to chat with other writers, read books on writing, have fun, and just have fun writing. Sit on a couch with a pad of paper. Don't feel you have to write a novel, and you know. So that's a few. How about you, Joni?
Just like you said, really, or mm-hmm. whatever it is, just have fun with it. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, like I said, have it come from your heart or a feeling or something you've experienced. Just be, you know, have fun. I guess that's it. Life's too short. Have fun. Enjoy. Learn, you know, and can I say, you know, read books to your kids. You know, reading is so important. It has so many good messages out there. And just be a family and take the time, like Judy said before.
And Judy, do you have anything else coming up within the next few months?
Well, actually, I'm working on another children's story right now,
mm-hmm.
And also, as I said, my sister and I I'm working with Marcia Cook. She finished a screenplay, so we're trying to get that out there to have it be a motion picture. But I'm continuing to work on children's stories, actually.
Fantastic.
So that's what I'm doing, and honing on, you know, right. I can always learn through children's writing. And eating, as I said, with your book in front of me, eating. You know, there's a couple New Orleans recipes or Louisiana recipes, such as Frank Shrimp. What is it? Is Frank Shrimp one?
Yes.
You know, I'm making everybody hungry.
Judy's family loves food.
We love to eat. Eat.
We all go if Judy's coming. It's like, yeah, you better have enough.
Frank Shrimp's coquetry.
Oh, that's it. I didn't know the. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know that last word.
Actually a little small town in South Louisiana in the Bayou.
Oh, is that what that is? Okay.
Yeah, that's from my Cajun mom's recipe.
That looks so good.
And one of the most wonderful recipe in there is actually the stuffing, the turkey stuffing, the oyster.
Turkey? Oh, yes, yeah. I saw that one.
Yeah, that's New Orleans. That's from my Southern Belle mom. I mean, she's just fabulous. She went to Newcomb College, which is during her time. The boys and the girls don't mix, so the women have their own college and the men have Tulane University. So.
Right. So she had all the good New Orleans cooking.
There you go. The oyster dressing is really good for the holiday season, so if you're ever interested in that.
Oh, I am. After, when I saw that you Baton Rouge and I saw this, I said, well, I'm going to try, but I'm first going to the pound cake. I'm sorry. Your pound cake in there with the two sticks of butter, that's what I'm going to.
Yeah, it's extra butter. It's good stuff.
Good.
Ladies, thank you for the great recipes for living that you have shared with us earlier and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be parenting experts and number one New York Times best-selling authors, Richard and Linda Iyer. For the last 25 years, Richard and Linda have been advising parents on how to raise their most important assets, their children. Richard, Linda, and I will be discussing about their life's work and their new book, titled Entitlement Trap, How to Rescue Your Child with the New Family System of Choosing, Earning, and Ownership. For additional information about this show, future shows, and to receive a free recipe for living, please go to FromMyMamasKitchen.com. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. Judy, Joan, thank you again, and have a great day.
Thank you. Pleasure being
on.
Bye-bye. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.